In the reading appointed for today in Luke's Gospel, we find Jesus teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer. Luke's version of this prayer is shorter than the one we find in Matthew. The Episcopal Church includes the Matthean version in the service of Holy Communion and in many of its other liturgies. So I imagine the Lucan version struck many of you the way it struck me, at once familiar and unusual. But the length of the prayer is not the only difference between the two gospel writers' accounts of Jesus' teaching. The framings that Matthew and Luke give their presentations of the Lord's Prayer differ in several ways as well. Looking at these points of divergence helps to shed light on what aspects of prayer Luke wants to emphasize in his account of Jesus' teaching. We see that Luke wants to show us something about perseverance in prayer and the promise in prayer. Perseverance and promise. First, perseverance in prayer. In Matthew's account, Jesus introduces his prayer by contrasting it to the practice of the Gentiles, who, he says, heap up empty phrases, thinking that they will be heard because of their many words. The terse prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples includes no such verbosity or bombast, because those things are not needed to get God's attention. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him, Jesus assures his followers. Simple and direct prayer is enough. In Luke's account, however, Jesus follows the Lord's Prayer with a parable that depicts how a man's shamelessly persistent pestering eventually induces his reluctant friend to lend him food that he can set before a recently arrived guest, and in this way fulfill the demands of hospitality. The point of this parable seems to be the same as another similar parable Jesus tells in Luke's Gospel about a widow whose continual pleas convince a corrupt judge to grant for justice. Both parables illustrate, as Luke puts it, the need to pray always and not to lose heart. By including both of these parables in his account of Jesus' earthly ministry, neither of which is found in the other Gospels, Luke is keen on highlighting the importance of perseverance in prayer. And when juxtaposed with Matthew's concern to affirm the sufficiency of short prayers, Luke's emphasis is cast in even sharper relief. Unfortunately, however, the value of perseverance in prayer can be easily misunderstood in ways that do harm to our souls and damage our relationship with God. We can start to believe that persistent prayer is necessary because God is like the reluctant friend or the unjust judge that we must harass in order to receive the things that we ask for. God in this picture is not interested so much in answering our prayers as in testing our faith. We can start to believe that it is up to us and our doggedness and the strength of our convictions to change God's mind, to stir God to act, to convince God that our needs really are important and worth addressing. The Trappist monk Thomas Merton describes what it is like to pray with this mindset. We hear that faith does everything, so we close our eyes and strain a bit to generate some soul force. We believe. Nothing happens. We close our eyes again and generate some more soul force. We are just gushing with soul force, but nothing happens. So we go on with this until we become disgusted with the whole business. We get tired of generating soul force. We get tired of this faith that does not do anything to change reality. It does not take away our anxieties, our conflicts. It leaves us a prey to uncertainty. It does not thoroughly convince us that God is satisfied with us, or even that we are satisfied with ourselves. Merton speaks to the disillusionment that can result when long and fervent prayers go unanswered. At such times, we are tempted to give up on prayer altogether. When so much effort proves futile, prayer can seem like nothing but a waste of time and emotional energy. How can we be expected to keep hope alive for so long without it being fulfilled? As the book of Proverbs attests, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But this is not the only way we can react to unanswered prayer. Sometimes we are tempted to blame ourselves. We tell ourselves that had we only prayed harder, if we had spent more hours in prayer, if we had asked more people to pray for us, God would have granted our petitions. We cling on to the belief that there was something we could have done to bring about a different outcome. So we convince ourselves that it is our fault that our prayers are met with silence. In this way, we compound the pain we feel over unanswered prayer with feelings of guilt and shame. When we think that perseverance in prayer is how we get God to listen to us, it leads to this sort of disappointment with God and with ourselves. But Jesus does not teach us to persevere in prayer because God requires a performance of faith before answering our prayers. Our tenacity does not impress or annoy or otherwise convince God to grant our petitions. At all times, God is a loving Father who knows what we need before we ask and desires to give us good things. Jesus does not tell us parables featuring reluctant friends and unjust judges in order to imply that God is like these characters. Rather, Jesus is trying to show us that if even they can be persuaded to give good things to those who ask, how much more should we expect good things from our Heavenly Father, whose love for us is unchanging and unstinting? Therefore, if our prayers go unanswered, we do not have to worry that we did not persevere enough in prayer, because perseverance was never a means of acquiring what we asked for to begin with. What then is the value of perseverance in prayer? Jesus' teaching is less a prescription for perseverance as it is permission for persistence. It is permission to continually communicate with God about our needs and desires, about the things that weigh heavy on our hearts. As long as we remain burdened, we can keep bringing our burdens to God. There is no point where God expects us to resign ourselves to unmet needs. Perseverance in prayer gives us permission to talk to God from our perspective. Though we pray that God's will be accomplished, this does not prevent us from expressing our will to God as well. In his own life, Jesus modeled this approach to prayer. One clear example can be found later in Luke's gospel when Jesus prays at the Mount of Olives before his arrest. Although Jesus knew what was about to happen to himself and to his disciples, he still communicated to his Father through prayer his desire that things might be otherwise, and he implores his disciples to do the same. Luke tells us, "When Jesus reached the Mount of Olives, he said to his disciples, 'Pray that you may not come into the time of trial.' Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.'" God's will is not always clear to us, but Jesus was and is God. And during his earthly ministry, he knew the will of God the Father and predicted his death and resurrection to his disciples. And with this knowledge, he still persevered in prayer, bringing his human desires to the Father. Jesus Christ was the perfect human being, and we can follow his example. Although God the Father did not remove the cup of crucifixion from Jesus, neither did God leave Jesus' prayer unanswered. Luke tells us that as Jesus prayed, an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. This points us to the second point that Luke makes in his account of Jesus' teaching on prayer, the promise in prayer. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" In Luke's gospel, however, Jesus is more specific, saying, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God does not always answer our prayers the way that we hope. Yet we have been given a promise that God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Like the angel that ministered to Jesus at the Mount of Olives and gave him strength, so too does the Holy Spirit comfort us in our afflictions. And God sends the Holy Spirit not only when we ask directly, but also when we bring our other desires and needs to God in prayer. As Paul says in Philippians, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is our promise in prayer in Christ Jesus, that in the midst of our afflictions, God will send God's Spirit to comfort us and make real to us the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we persevere in prayer not to earn God's gift of love, but to live in the love of God that is ours already. Heavenly Father, we pray that according to the riches of your glory, you may grant that we may be strengthened in our inner being with power through your Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith as we are being rooted and grounded in love. We pray that we may have all the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.